grace and peace from Christ, our ascended God and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Over the course of 2,000 years, all kinds of lesser festivals have been celebrated in the church. But six major festival days began to dominate in the worship life of the Christian church. These six dates in the church year mark the most important biblical events in the life of Jesus and in the life of his people, the church. Some of them are familiar, the two most familiar being Christmas and Easter. We know what Christmas is about, that God's Son was born into the world as a Savior to redeem the world. We know what Easter was about, that Jesus, by his resurrection, triumphed over sin and death and the devil. The next two are coming up very soon in this month of May, Pentecost and Holy Trinity Sunday. And their spiritual importance is also understood by Christians. We understand Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church to empower God's people in their witness to Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. We know what Trinity Sunday is all about. That Christ the Son, along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, are honored as the only and one true saving God. But there are two other festivals that are lesser known in the church year, and they've become less important in recent years, largely because these holy days fall during the week and not on Sundays. And these, of course, are the Epiphany and the Ascension. Even the Epiphany is pretty well known in its theme. Its importance is that Christ is revealed as the Savior of all people, of all tribes and nations, the universal Savior. But now tonight we have come to the least well known of these six major festivals. We have come to the ascension of Christ into heaven. And its importance is the least understood by Christians today. The religious observance of all these, Christmas, Easter, Epiphany, Ascension, Pentecost, and Holy Trinity, are important for us, the faithful in Christ, to know and to celebrate every year as we continue to make our pilgrimage on this earth by faith to heaven. Pastor Wright and I believe that it is important to revive the relevance of these six major worship dates, including the Epiphany and the Ascension within the congregation. And so to this end, you may have noticed that tonight we added festive elements to the worship service so that it would stand apart as a very special time for our Christian congregation to celebrate a very Christ-centered faith. Over time, it is our hope that Ascension and Epiphany would become almost as well attended as Easter or Christmas by the members of St. John. Of course, we know that in some sense, the New Testament tells us that one day is no holier than another, and that we are not required to celebrate any of these festivals. None of these, not even Christmas and Easter, is legislated or commanded by Scripture. And yet, as Christians, we know that our desire to worship on Ascension or any of these days doesn't come from any obligation to the law, but simply from faith. For faith tells us that we want to focus on these great themes that are tied to our salvation, such as Easter and the Ascension and Pentecost. And so it is in Christian freedom that we choose to do this. We do this also because this is instructive for your Christian faith, that we emphasize these dates in importance and give them a higher reverence and dignity and solemnity than other worship settings throughout the year. Even though these feast days are admittedly nowhere mandated by the Bible, they have developed for good reason as these mountaintop moments in the life of the church here and of God's people. And there are good theological reasons for them that are grounded in Scripture. And tonight, we're going to look at the Ascension. And we need to ask ourselves, if it's that important of a date, what do we celebrate at the ascension of Christ? When it comes to the ascension, why do we in fact celebrate Jesus leaving us as he goes back into heaven? I mean, think about the contradictory nature that we don't usually celebrate when we lose people in our lives. In fact, that kind of personal loss saddens us. And here are some examples of that from life. Funerals, we grieve when our loved ones are taken from us in death. Or maybe some of you have received a Dear John letter at some point in your life and you were hurt when those that you loved left for someone else. Then there's empty nest syndrome. We simply lament when our children leave us and leave home. We don't celebrate at those moments, but we sort of mourn. So why would the church make ascension one of its six most memorable events in all of salvation history? Why would we take time tonight to celebrate the fact that Jesus left us? After all, leaving is sad. It's not festive, is it? Well, there are several scripturally satisfying reasons for this. I'll give you the first that's in the text. The angels tell the disciples, this same Jesus who you are watching now being taken from you into heaven is going to come back to you in the same way he went into heaven. And so, first, ascension is a reminder that we are waiting for the return of Christ. But there are a couple other reasons to me that are more important tonight that we talk about. Jesus left us, interestingly enough, so that he could always be with us. I know how contradictory that sounds, but Jesus knew that he could not continue to walk on this earth beside every one of us. He was simply, in his state of humiliation, a man limited to time and space. And it was only by going to heaven that he could always be with us as our God and Savior. And tied to this is that in the ascension, you could argue that Jesus really never left us. He just left our sight. It's an important distinction to make. Because even though Jesus was taken out of the disciples' sight, I think you could safely argue he was never far removed from their lives. Because we can't see Jesus doesn't mean he isn't with us. We know that he would send his own spirit to live in us. And so, our Lord just changed the manner and mode of his presence of our lives so that now, even though we can't see him, we love him, and we know that he is in our lives. Jesus left us so that he could always be with us. A paradoxical statement. In the last chapter of Matthew, Jesus was preparing to ascend into heaven, and he made this promise to the church, and you are that church. He says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if you examine that text from the Gospel of Matthew, the promise is more specific than simply, I am with you always. The actual promise at the end of Matthew is, as you baptize in my name, as you teach everything I have commanded in my word, I will be with you always. Or if we put it just a little different, Jesus is promising to his church now and forever that as we use his word in sacrament, as we teach his word and baptize, he is among us. But before I understood that, I remember as a kid, before I knew that Jesus was with me in the means of grace, this farewell of the ascension used to sound like a great contradiction to me. In fact, in my home church, there was a portrait of the ascension very prominently located in our church. And it always made me sad to see Jesus going up. It sounded to me like he was saying something like, well, I'm leaving you now, but I'll always be with you. And you'll be with me in my thoughts and prayers. But Jesus wasn't speaking like that. We speak like that. We say, I'll always be with you in spirit if we leave behind those we love. But we must take Jesus' words more literally. Jesus is promising to be with each Christian always and for as long as we are on this earth until that day when we are with our Lord in heaven. It's obvious that he is promising to be with his people just in a different way than the disciples had yet to understand. If the ascension were no more than a long goodbye from Jesus, frankly, this day would not rank in the top six worship events in my book. But the ascension is more complicated than simply a goodbye from Jesus as he returns to his rightful throne in heaven. The ascension has far greater spiritual significance. For if Jesus had stayed on this earth as a finite man, he would have been severely limited in who he could have ministered to. Oh, he could have shepherded his 12 disciples. Maybe he could have even shepherded those 120 believers who were described at the very beginning of the book of Acts. Possibly he could have supervised a church of thousands in Jerusalem if he had established an earthly church or kingdom there, as the disciples wrongly assumed. But Jesus left so that he could be with us all Christians, and not just those few. After being exalted above all things once again as Lord of heaven and earth, he could be everywhere, so that for time and eternity he could shepherd his whole church on earth and in every place. Now I imagine at the time the disciples stood there gazing upward with their mouths open, it would not have seemed advantageous for Jesus to be leaving. They would have preferred him to remain on earth. But it was advantageous that he ascend to the real temple in heaven, that he might be God's advocate, or our advocate, before God's throne. That in this exalted place in heaven, he might speak on our behalf to the Father. Think how much more Jesus can do for us, his people, from that position than from earth. The Ascension Day marks the day when our brother is exalted to the very highest place in heaven to rule in our favor. And from that eternal throne in heaven, he is now in the perfect position to help us and save us. And so the main point of the Ascension is not simply to teach that he ascended out of the disciples' sight, but that in the ascension, Jesus assumed all power and might. It is this exalted Jesus, manifest at the ascension, that allows him as God to be with us, to watch over us, and to continually be our advocate before God's throne. And yet, that calls for faith. If we look at the number of people here tonight, we can see that not everyone understands how important the ascension is. It calls for faith. And faith asks us to believe that we are better off with Jesus working in our lives after the ascension than if he had stayed here on earth as in the four Gospels. It's interesting how from time to time during the earthly life of Jesus, the disciples will display a certain separation anxiety every time they think of losing Jesus from their sight. Once when Jesus spoke of leaving the disciples to go to die, it raised Thomas's level of anxiety. He was worried about the thought of Jesus ever leaving them. But the ascension is not meant to raise our anxiety level over Jesus leaving us, as if he simply poof, vanished out of sight. Remember our Lord's comments to Mary on Easter morning as she rushes forward to hug Jesus when she realizes he is alive from the dead, and Jesus says to her, Mary, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am returning Father and your Father to my God and your God. When Jesus says this to Mary, he's talking about more than Mary's desire for a hug, but he's speaking of the ascension. Mary would soon learn that her earthly ability to touch Jesus or hug him would be eclipsed by a totally and more profound mode of the Lord's presence in her life. For now, Jesus could be with her always to the very end of the age. He would no longer walk beside her as a humble man, but he would live within her as her exalted Lord. That could never have happened without the ascension to the right hand of God. And so the disciples gaze up to Jesus, and they're too focused on his disappearance in the cloud to understand what they were gaining at that moment. And if you and I are going to see the celebratory significance of the ascension, then we're not to focus on the thought of, well, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus had just stayed here and lived with us and walked among us? But instead, faith is asking you to see beyond those clouds that hide Jesus at his ascension. For you can only celebrate this ascension properly if you see that Jesus was exalted above all so that he could be with you on earth, but in a new and powerful way. You have not lost Jesus. He is not gone. He is just out of sight. He left so that he could be with us to the very end of the ages. And he is now with all of his church, and not only a few. Friends in Christ, he is inside of you, which is better than his being beside you. And he is present among you in his saving word and in his holy sacraments. If only the disciples had realized that their relationship did not end, but was going to be elevated to a whole new level now because of the ascension. And my friends in Christ, so is ours. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hopes and hearts in Christ Jesus.